Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's with us today. Jacinda, te nākwe, it's good to talk with you again. Kia ora.
Morena, nice to speak with you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Jacinda. Okay, you've been busy and around these parts of the world that Penny just touched on too. He got back from the Ukraine. He described some of the meetings as being quite tense because of our political position. I guess it's a reminder that, you know, other parts of the world are experiencing some challenging times, but he was keen to make the point, as you have been in your international travels in recent times too, that what we're seeing in the Ukraine is intolerable from a New Zealand's perspective. With that can come the erosion in relationships, which at times can be very warm, but how would you describe our relationships with some of the ASEAN countries from your visits, from Penny's visits recently?
Yeah, a great question, because actually, you know, as you say, we've been very strong on the war in Ukraine, but it's because we ask ourselves a simple question: what if it were us? What would we want to happen if we saw our territory challenged? And so that's why we take a very clear view on our reaction on Ukraine. What I found interesting, though, Dale, is at the East Asia Summit and at APEC, there was a real isolation of the Russian representatives. And that was both, you know, within the meeting itself, but in the statement. So I think that there is a general consensus that exists there. Some countries are more forthright, so they'll do things like put in place sanctions. Others will use words. But either way, I think there is general consensus.
Jacinda, out on the street, they're blaming you for this recession that's coming our way. Is that fair?
Well, we are in the same situation as many countries at the moment, Dale. You know, and we always knew that there'd likely be an economic impact globally from COVID. It's just come later than we expected, but we're not alone in the experience that we're having. Inflation is high around the world, and it was one of the big topics of conversation at APEC. But we have some of ours is relative to others lower because we have a different energy situation. So the impact of the war in Ukraine isn't hitting us there. But it's no question the combination of the post-COVID environment and the war is just causing such huge economic disruption. Now, that's not to say we don't have a job to do to support people to get through. We do. We're making sure that we're still providing all the services people need whilst also trying to find ways where we can keep trimming back government spending. And we are and have reduced that at the same time. Cost of living support for people. And you've seen at the petrol pump, family tax credit increases, benefit increases. And the thing here is just supporting our businesses like our exporters and others who will continue to help us with unemployment levels being low and so on.
So you're suggesting that these economic forces would impact New Zealand's economy irrespective of the of who was had the reins of government. Listen, I spoke with Nicola Willis the other day, Jacinda. Like, we're on a Māori radio station. I tried to sort of tag the line that, you know, people are already doing it tough and you know, what sort of relief might there be? $16.50 for a kilo of mince, for instance, out here in Mangere or Manurewa. Is really tough for parts of the community who are already struggling. Could you address this, the Māori economy and the realities for many of our people who are sadly, I have to say, living on Struggle Street we approach these most difficult financial times?
Yeah, and that's why all of the efforts we've put in, Dale, have been focused on low and middle income earners. That's the cost of living payment. The family tax credit, which we've increased, hits 60% of families benefit from that, our low and middle income earners. At the same time, the fuel excise reduction, bringing down the price of fuel at the pump by 25 cents a litre. Our announcement around childcare subsidies, which again will help thousands of families with what is one of their bigger costs when they're in work. And then, as I say, with also increases in benefit rates. Lifting the minimum wage, also really important for our lower income families. So that's our approach. What the National Party has proposed is generic tax cuts. Now, for a low income earner, that's about $2 a week. So what I've just described is far, far greater in benefit to those families than $2 a week. But untargeted tax cuts also run the risk of just making the cost of living worse because it can make inflation go up. So that's what we have to finally balance at the moment. final thing, Dale, you mentioned the cost of mince. We're worried about our supermarkets in New Zealand. We've been worried for a while. You saw how much New Zealanders flocked to Costco because suddenly they had a choice to access cheaper food prices. We know from a report the Commerce Commission did, our groceries are getting $1 million a day in excess profit from groceries in New Zealand, grocery stores in New Zealand. So we want to do something about that. We're regulating in that space, and we hope that will also help with food prices.
Well, some say the way out of an economic challenge is to boost business, and then eventually the workers and low-income people will get some assistance. But you seem to be towing the party line, which is to focus initially on the poor and middle-income earners. You're sticking to your guns there, not changing tack like some did in the 80s.
No, sticking to our guns there. We know that this is a tough period. We know those are the families who will feel the impacts the most. That's where we're targeting our support. That means we're able to do more, and it also means we don't make inflation worse.
Three waters, it wasn't. And look, if you've got to go, just give us a nod, please, Jacinta. I appreciate it.
You're fine.
I'm stealing time with you because we only get the chance every few weeks. But I do appreciate the opportunity to call it all with you. Three waters, it turned into a battle, not so much about three waters, I thought. Political opponents were pitching it as them being hoo-ha with the thought of co-governance. Are you more comfortable personally and politically as a party with the shared role of tangata whenua interests? As we chart a way forward, it seems to be something you're more comfortable than Chris and his team.
Well, I mean, that came through in the debate, but in my mind, what we were talking about with Three Waters all the way through, first of all, was people were getting sick from water. That's what started it. It was Havelock North that started this whole discussion. But actually, it's been going on for a long time. We have water infrastructure issues in New Zealand. And, Dale, you travel around the country, and there are some parts of New Zealand that frequently have boil notices. So the question isn't, do we need to do something? We have to. Then it becomes, what do you do? As we worked through the problem, it became clear that if we didn't want people to experience huge rate rises, which we don't want families experiencing, particularly right now, we had to start doing things differently. So that's Three Waters is about trying to keep the cost of water infrastructure development down. So that's simply what it's all about. And when you redesign that, then you start asking your questions, well, who should be on those regional representative bodies to make sure that we're delivering water services locally? And for us, absolutely having mana whenua and council around the table, that mirrors what councils already do. And I think it's one of the reasons council themselves were always quite positive about those proposals, Dale. It's a shame that it seems, for the most part, the only ones who weren't were ACT and the National Party.
I'm looking at a picture of you and the Finnish Prime Minister, flanked by Māori warriors at a porphyry. You look fairly chipper. Actually, you look a bit like sisters.
Well, I guess there's not many politicians who are leaders around the world who are women and who are in our age bracket. It's a bit of a rare thing.
It sure is. Because most of them are old, grey, crusty, and predictable. Anyway.
Not my words, Dale.
What about 16-year-old voters, Jacinta?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, look, so the only reason we're having this discussion is because a group of young people brought through our court system the question over whether or not it was discriminatory that 16 and 17-year-olds can't vote in New Zealand. And the Supreme Court has said to Parliament, you have to look at this issue. So they've sent it back to us. Our view is we're now required to issue a response and to spend 4 months looking at it. And our view was, look, if we have to look at it, let's give people the chance to have a vote on it in Parliament, because ultimately you can't change the voting age with just one party. It requires 75% of the Parliament. So that's why we've put it to Parliament.
Thanks, Jacinta. I'll let you go. Hey, are you going to be around to lead the Labour ship into battle next year in the 2023 election, Jacinta Ardern?
Oh, you've heard me say this plenty of times, Dale. I'm not going anywhere.
Alrighty. Sounds good to me. How's that little one of yours? Right. How Māori people love Neve. How's she going?
Oh, she's great. She's at that super busy age, you know, just really excited about the idea of going to school. So she's, you know, 4 and a half now, and it's just flying by.
Flying by. And she has to school soon. Hope you're sending her. Sending her to Kura Kaupapa?
We haven't settled on what we're doing yet. We're a little all over the shop. But, yeah, no, we need to sort it out because she's ready to go. It's middle of June next year we'll be off.
Look, she looks like a cooler kid to me, Jacinda.
Oh. Yeah, I bet she would love it probably.
I'm sure she would. I better go back to Kula myself anyway before we see little leave there. Hey, good catching up with you again. Thanks very much, Jacinda. If I don't talk before, it's the 1st of December, see, so you'll be putting up your prime ministerial Christmas tree today, won't you?
Oh, look, it's already up. It's pretty basic. It's from Kmart, but it's already up.
Very good. Kmart. Okay, thanks very much, Jess, and all the best to you and your fams. We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mick Wehoki. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.